At Audi Columbus, luxury meets convenience. Family-owned since 1897, we've built our reputation on trust, transparency, and innovation. Browse our selection online and complete your purchase from home. Then simply stop by to pick up your keys.
Drive home a new 2025 Audi Q5 for $559 for 39 months with $49.99 due at signing.
The next generation shops online. Experience the future with us at AudiColumbus.com. Buyers Auto, driving the next generation of buyers.
See dealer for details. Offer ends 4/30/26.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard, as we've got cup and international football on our minds. The lineup for the Scottish Cup semi-finals is complete and Rangers will play Celtic in the final four at Hampden. League One Falkirk got through against Championship Ayr last night. They'll play more lower league opposition in Inverness for a place in the final. And Stevie Clark's latest Scotland squad has been named, with the first call up for goalkeeper Angus Gunn. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you've got Gordon DL and Mark Wilson.
Yeah, a few things to chat about. Firstly, congratulations to the four sides that have made it through to the semi-finals, and we'll look forward to that when it comes round at the end of April. And well done to the individuals who were selected for the upcoming games for Scotland. Lots to talk about in respect to that. People who have missed out and maybe should have been in the squad, but it's an interesting squad, and fingers crossed when the games come about, we get off to a good start.
Yeah, good weekend. Scottish Cup action, Gordon, started on Friday night up in Inverness. Got themselves into semi-final, and then the weekend, you look at Rangers and Celtic. In the game last night, there was a big prize at the end of it for either Falkirk or Ayr. Falkirk come out winners, drawn against Inverness, so we'll have a League One team or a Championship team in the Scottish Cup final on June the 3rd.
A couple of games away from guaranteed group stage European football.
That's amazing.
Remarkable. Anyway, 0141 951 1025. What did you make of last night's Scottish Cup draw? That's a fairly simple question that should gain some fairly complex answers, because it was all the talk before. Would the big Glasgow showdown, would it happen in the final if they both got through? Would they meet in the semis? Well, you've got your answer. They've made a bit of a habit of meeting in semi-finals rather than finals in recent times. So what did you make of the draw? The fact Glasgow's big two will meet in the semi-final. Give me all your thoughts, please. 0141 951 1025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. I'd love to hear from you, Falkirk fans. What an incredible achievement. To think it wasn't that long ago you were in the Scottish Cup final, but now in League One. It's been a tough old time in League One in recent seasons, and through to a Scottish Cup final. So I would love to speak to some Falkirk fans before the show ends. Scotland squad's been announced today. Always a key day in your calendar for some peak mumping and moaning, because the player you like isn't in it and the player you dislike is in it, and that's terrible. So what do you think of the squad? Who's unlucky to miss out? Who are you looking forward to seeing? And of course Angus Gunn in particular. Lots of people having a bit of a whinge on social media. You kept Scotland on the back burner till they realised they wouldn't get a game for England, all that sort of stuff. Does that bother you or not? Let us know. 0141 951 1025. And don't forget, all this week on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, we're giving away tickets to the Glasgow International Comedy Festival. It kicks off tomorrow, runs till the 2nd of April. Now every single caller who makes it on air tonight is going to go into the hat for a pair of tickets to see Mark Jennings at the King's Theatre on the Friday the 24th of March. We're chucking in dinner for two at Nona Said in the Merchant City as well. So all you need to do is pick up the phone, get through to make a point tonight, and you go in the hat for the tickets. I mean, you think these two are funny? These amateurs,
right.
Absolute amateurs,
right.
You don't get dinner with us, but
compared to what's on show at the Glasgow International Comedy Festival. And like I say, all you need to do is get on air, make a point to the panel, and you go in the hat. So 0141 951 1025. Be honest,
yeah,
you were choking for air to go out last night, weren't you?
100%.
Didn't want your fame being overtaken.
And I love the fact the commentator actually said the last person to lead Ayr United to a semi-final Scottish Cup was that man, that DL, that man, Mr. Ayr.
He's selfish.
Never invited to their centenary. I don't know why.
I must have had it on mute at that point.
Look, I've got to say, I had two semis with Ayr, But when you look at Ayr last night, I thought it was a great opportunity to go on. They got off to a fantastic start. I'm only kidding, I would have loved my old club to get there.
It was a really long joke, I must say, but anyway.
No, but I thought they got off to a terrific start. Akinyemi giving them that lead, and then he really should have cemented the second one for me. Really, and I think it would have been a different game. I thought, first and foremost, I thought it was a terrific quarter final. I really did. Falkirk's second half were brilliant. Ayr got a great chance to get that penalty kick, score a penalty kick, 2-1. I think that would have been enough. Falkirk got the park. Well done to John McGlynn. A fantastic guy, fantastic coach, and he's doing a great job.
Yeah, like I say, it would be nice to hear from some Falkirk fans if you're out there. We don't often get the chance these days. So pick up the phone, 01419511025. And what about you lot out there in Glasgow in the West? Many of you we know have got a vested interest in that other semi-final. Celtic and Rangers are going to meet for what will eventually, come the end of the season, it'll be six times this season. What do you make of this latest one? We spent the last few days, didn't we, arguing about whether you'd rather see your rivals crash out to someone else, whether you would rather meet them in the semi, whether you would rather wait till the final. Well, now you have your answer. When that draw was made last night, it will be Glasgow's big two in the semi-final. So what do you make of it? 01419511025. Interesting, Mark. We said it last night, right? Scottish football's got all these sort of weird and wonderful conspiracy theories. The worst by a mile must be this notion of the sort of hot and cold balls, and people like to mention it for a wee chuckle, and as if they're going to be always kept apart till the final. They very, very rarely meet in the Scottish Cup final. 2002 was the last time.
It's extraordinary, 2003, really?
2002. Yeah. And they meet in semi-finals quite often.
They do.
So it's a bit of a myth, I think.
Well, of course it is. I think everybody likes the idea that, of course, our two biggest sides, two biggest budgets, showpiece occasion at the end of the season. It's a nice thought, but very rarely happens, like you say, Gordon. So they meet again in the semi-final. You know, a repeat of last year, where Rangers, it was, came out on top, of course. So it's one that Ange Postecoglou will have fresh in his memory for last year. But again, it just feeds into what we've been used to in recent weeks in this show. Celtic fans will come on and say they've nothing to fear because they're miles ahead of Rangers. And Rangers fans will say, well, our only defeat since Michael Beales came in has been against Ange Postecoglou, and it wasn't that far apart that day. So it just leads into that. Of course, before then, we'll have another league encounter
to get through.
So a lot of water to pass under the bridge before that date comes.
Yeah, let's hear from both sides then. What did you make of the draw last night? 01419511025. Like we said, Gordon, I think it's time that this gets put to bed forever. It'll never happen. It's a wishful thinking on my part. But I think that's of the times that they've both been in the semi-final draw, because obviously there's been times when they've been out before it. But on the times that they've both been in, that's five times in a row. It's five semi-finals in a row that they've been drawn in the semi-final. So we need to rip up this notion that they get kept apart till the final, stick it in a bin somewhere.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I just think it's exciting. Look, let's be honest, I think that everybody was thinking, you know, Falkirk, Inverness, one of them got to get to the final. Will Rangers and Celtic, whoever wins that, will cruise the Scottish Cup final. It'll not be exciting. But I stand in the shoes of the lower teams. I've been there as a manager. If you're Falkirk and Inverness, John McGlynn, Billy Dodds must have been crossing their fingers last night for Rangers and Celtic to be drawn together. And that's up to Rangers and Celtic to go on with that. Falkirk and Inverness, this will make the world to them financially, Gordon. That's what you've got to look at as well. As much as all the focus will be in the big two, and I still think a semi-final is as exciting as it gets as well.
You would say that. 01419511025. Let's hear from all four sets of fans if we could. That would be the dream. Let's kick off with Kevin, who's a Celtic fan. How did you feel about the draw last night, Kevin?
Well, I've sat watching the. How are you doing? How are you, first of all?
That's fine, Kevin. I don't even care how Mark and Gordon are, and I'll be honest with
you. Great, so Kev.
You can dive straight into your point. It's not a problem.
You need to leave the mushroom alone. I'm a big Mark Wilson fan. Best right back since. Best right back in your history, apart from Alistair Johnson.
And Mikael Rusting, Anthony Ralston, and
Alan Snedden.
Let's not do this.
You're my favourite caller of all time.
It's too early in the show to insult Mark. Yeah, it's an open goal for it. Anyway, Kevin, what about the draw last night?
mate, as soon as that game was finished, I was obviously taking down a wee note of the numbers. Rangers were the first out, and as soon as it said number one, mate, I was celebrating. I was delighted. And listen, it's 50-50. I totally get that. I'm not saying here that we've got to go in and we've got to definitely win, right? I'm not saying that whatsoever. But for me, I would rather meet them in the semi. And the reason for that is, we put them out in the semi-final. The Rangers fans, Michael Beale, need to sit and watch us in another final. And there's nothing, they can do absolutely nothing about stopping us lifting another trophy. I don't want them getting another day out of Hampden in a final. No chance. I want to put them right out in the semi-final so they can sit and watch us, hopefully on the way to lifting a treble, because it's going to hurt them even more. It's just West Coast mentality, I'm afraid. That's just the way it is. But I would much rather have them in the semi-final. Absolutely delighted. I think we can win. It'll be close, just like the other game. But hopefully they can get out of the line. But I'm delighted with the draw.
See, this is the verging on vindictive nature of this rivalry, because Celtic fans know that the League Cup's in the bag. The league is there or thereabouts. So, to paraphrase Kevin, I want to end their season as soon as possible. That's the sort of logic.
And I can understand that. I could understand that from fans. Now, you started a mini debate with Hugh at the weekend where you thought that there would be fans like Kevin who would think that way. Hugh thought the other way. I said my opinion. If I was there, I would rather beat Rangers in the final all day long. But I can totally understand Kevin's point of view, and it'll be the same the other side of the city as well, that Celtic fans will be supremely confident in this minute, and they've every reason to be supremely confident if they think that they can, you know, inflict further pain in Rangers with robbing them of a day out in a cup final, which is a huge day for a supporter. Kevin is right then.
And look, I'm almost certain we'll get to it within minutes. On the flip side of that, you just, if you're in the Ranger camp, you say, well, that's good, that's fine. You know, that you try and use that as your fuel. You know, talk like, I'm not saying Michael Beale is recording Kevin's call on Clyde One Super Scoreboard and going to play it, but you get what I mean. If that's the thought process on one side of the fence, then if you're on the other, you try and use that to
your advantage. Rangers fans will be thinking the flip side, well, we could stop your possible treble and you can sit and watch us lift the Scottish Cup,
and it'll be a sign that we are back on the right track and making up for the League Cup final.
Let's not just discard. I know it's got to be difficult, Falkirk, Inverness. I think that's disrespectful first and foremost, but I think everybody would admit the favourites will certainly come from the winners of the Rangers Celtic game. But Rangers fans will be the exact same. I think that, look, there'll not be a Celtic fan in this planet will come on here and say anything negative about the semi-final. And the reason being, the way the manager is, the way the team is, the squad is, and the way they're playing. I think that the Rangers fans will be the exact same. I just think it's the way that this fixture goes. A semi-final with a chance to get into a final where you will be the clear favourites to win the Scottish Cup. We're already started and we're still weeks away.
Clear something up for me though, Kevin, because you said, you know, you celebrated the draw, you were delighted with it, but you then went on to say that, you know, you think it will be close. So is there not enough in it then to make you nervous? Why are you celebrating something that's close, which might end up with you, you know, if it's close, there's obviously a risk there in your mind that it might go wrong?
Because it's the opportunity. We've got the opportunity to end their season. We've got the opportunity to have their fans sitting Celtic playing a final where they are going to be overwhelming favourites to win, and there's absolutely nothing that they can do about it. So it's the opportunity. It's going to be close. If I was on the phone last week, it will be close. I'm not overly nervous. I don't see how Rangers are going to. It's going to be close, right? But I just think on the day, if as long as we don't lose anybody through injuries or suspension or whatever, I honestly just think that we've got too much in the midfield and up front. For Rangers, to be honest, I'm not sitting here saying that we've got to leather them 4-5-6-0. It will be close, but I just don't see, and I haven't seen anything in the Old Firm game so far this season that makes me sit and think, oh, they could turn us there. I just don't see it. It's just, again, it's the opportunity to take a big deal away from them, and it is, as you said, vindictive. That's the way it is. I want to take that day away from them, so. That's the way I feel.
I don't mind it at all. I'm always learning about the rivalry. What about last season's semi-final though? Because I'm sure you would have felt quite similar. Any sort of nerves that it can go that way again?
Well, Not really. I mean, listen, you look at last semi-final, again, like I said, it was close. Cameron Carter-Vickers misses a sitter for 4 yards out, hits the bar. And I was sitting watching with my mates, and I'm thinking, I didn't feel nervous at the time. I think the only thing they've got is this long ball, Conor Goldson just belting the ball up 70 yards. And then, lo and behold, that's how they caught their goal, to be honest. But I'm not that. Listen, it's a one-half game. Anything can happen. So that's why I'm not sitting here saying to you, we're definitely going to turn them out. It will be close. But I just think that on the day, we will have too much for them. As long as we have got our full squad there, we will have slightly, on the day, too much for them. But you just never know. I mean, Rangers are good for a penalty now and again, aren't they? So you never really know.
You never really know. I mean, Mark, even by our wacky standards on this show, just in case anyone's wondering, we're not going to build up to that game every night from now until the last weekend in April, right? Even we will find opportunity to move elsewhere. But this one, it is interesting because you can only kind of react to it now in terms of where the clubs are at. And I get Kevin's confidence and no problem with it, and Rangers fans might feel that they're going to hit the right run of form. But as you say, they'll actually meet again before that. And then the conversation might feel completely different, you know, depending on what happens. If Celtic turn Rangers over in that league game, my goodness, Kevin will be,
of course,
you'll be trying he'll to scrape him off the ceiling. But if somehow Rangers go and do it, then maybe it swings. So it's going to be an interesting build up to that one.
It certainly will. I mean, it's fresh in the mind just now. The draw has obviously just been made last night. The cup final was only a few weeks ago, so it's fresh in people's minds what two teams put out on show at Hampden on that day. And it'll be on us before we know it again. But you're right, the game before it will take huge interest, huge significance on what happens. If Celtic go about it the way that they have done at Celtic Park in recent games against Rangers, then, you know, it installs a lot of confidence, and these Celtic players don't need a lot of confidence at this minute with what they're carrying. The other way, if Rangers somehow manage to put a chink in Celtic's armour, then of course they go into it going, well, the game, the cup final at Hampden, there wasn't too much, I suppose, in the teams when you look at the scoreline. We've taken something off them at Celtic Park, so it's a different kettle of fish. It'll be hugely interesting. Kevin makes a good point, though. The squads that turn up in the day, there's a lot of football to be played before that game. You know, injuries may play a part. We saw what that did to the Rangers team and selections with Lundstrom and Jack missing out and Raskin. So lots and lots to come before.
Thank you to Kevin. He's excited about the draw. But what do you think? Always want to hear from both sides here. There's a lot of confidence from Kevin with his Celtic hat on. What about you Rangers fans? What about other Celtic fans, if you're agreeing or disagreeing with Kevin? You know the drill, 0141 951 1025. He's in the hat for the tickets to see Mark Jennings at the Glasgow International Comedy Festival. You will be as well, simply by picking up the phone.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson is in the building, so is Gordon Dalziel, and they're looking back on last night's Scottish Cup draw. There's still lots to get through, though. Want to get a good debate going about that Scotland team, Angus Gunn's inclusion, and anything else that you think is out there. Desperate to hear from some Falkirk fans as well. What an achievement, a Scottish Cup, semi-final from League One. And I've been mentioning this, we'll do it all this week, but tonight, thanks to the Glasgow International Comedy Festival, every caller who makes it on air tonight into the hat for a pair of tickets to see Mark Jennings at the King's Theatre on Friday the 24th. And we're chucking in dinner for two at Nona Said in the Merchant City as well. So just an extra incentive for you this week. You two are getting it tight off the people at the Glasgow International Comedy Festival.
Why?
They sort of picked out shows that you specifically could go and see, like based on your individual characteristics.
You've not seen it? No.
I'll read them out to you a bit later.
No, I've saw it. You don't need to read.
You've been done the most, to be fair.
Has he?
Yeah, I think so.
I actually gave them a like as well, just, and then I realised
I'd like to go if they're listening.
I'll find it again. VIP. But let's bring in Craig, who is a Rangers fan. Craig, how do you reflect on the draw last night?
How you doing, boys? I'm happy with the draw. It would be easy to sit here and say, well, you know, obviously we wanted Falkirk and Inverness, because then you're, without being disrespectful, all but sure of being in a final. To me, we've been presented an opportunity here that you don't get actually very often. You know, just recently we've had a massive disappointment against Celtic at Hampden. We have an opportunity quite quickly to go and rectify that disappointment and put it right. Look, I know there's undoubted that the pressure is going to be more on us than it is them, because clearly for Celtic, if they lose the game, then all they've lost is a cup. You know, if we lose the game, then they're going to win a treble, you know, and we're going to have to sit back and watch while they likely obliterate Inverness or Falkirk to do the said treble. So that's the last thing we need to happen. We need to have an ending to this season similar to last season, with a bit of silverware in the trophy cabinet that gives us something to build on. And I think, what a better opportunity to do it. You know, I don't believe Celtic are unbeatable. I've never believed that. I think we've shown at Ibrox that we could compete with Celtic. I think even at Hampden, okay, we went 2-0 down, but after that we had our moments in the game that showed when we actually, you know, if we can turn up and be at our best, we can compete. You know, Celtic aren't, we're not talking about prime Galacticos here. They can be beaten. And I think right now we are probably the only team who realistically can beat them.
Mark, again, and Gordon, is that the reality of it? I don't know if that's too controversial. You know, we will generally try and show both sides of every argument, but it's fairly obvious that Rangers need this more. Mm-hmm. Is that the right expression?
Well, I totally take on the point. I think no matter whether you're playing for a trophy or 3 points, it's still the same. I think both teams will be under pressure, because Celtic fans already probably have it in their head, not the manager, not the players, but Celtic fans, that there's a treble there, and I think that adds a bit of pressure. Rangers fans have got it in their head. Mm. If we beat Celtic here, at least there's a great chance we'll get silverware and we'll finish on a great high and try and get into the summer.
There's always pressure, but that is a different type of pressure, isn't it? No, like Celtic fans will want a treble. They'll be desperate for it. They'll love it, but you know, the pressure that comes with having to reduce your 3 trophies to 2 is not the same as the pressure that comes with having to reduce your 1 trophy to none.
Yeah, but I look at the both managers, right? No matter what happens in this game, unless it's a freak result for Celtic, for instance, if it goes into it really embarrassing, then the managers get criticised, especially Michael Beale, but they don't come under pressure. And the fact that he will get the summer, he will get the rebuilding job, and he can move on from there. For Rangers fans, they're desperate to finish on the high, because whoever goes into the game in the June the 3rd is going to finish the season, and I keep saying it without being disrespectful to the two other teams, probably with a trophy, unless there's a real turnaround and, you know, something special happens on that day, which can happen because it's football. But I just think that I don't see Rangers mounting themselves up with more pressure than with Celtic, because Celtic are winners. They're serial winners. Mm. They want that. Look, they want that treble more than anything in the whole world. Of course they will. And it's the same with Rangers. They'll want their hands in
silverware. So you think there's the exact same pressure on both teams?
Yeah, 100%.
I disagree. I think there's more pressure on Rangers than Beale. I think the way the cup final went, that's another one ticked off. I even think then the draw at Ibrox, where it was in Rangers' grasp and they gave up on it, and Kyogo nicked an equaliser. That was another one that escaped. This game at Celtic Park, now who knows how that's going to go, but if you're going with the way Celtic's playing at Celtic Park in recent games, then you would fancy Celtic getting into that one. That comes before the semi-final. The pressure then, if Beale hasn't beat Celtic at Celtic Park, is on Beale to get a result. Doesn't matter what else happens in the league. Rangers fans will come on here all the time and say the game's against.
You don't know that outcome yet, Mark. That's what I'm saying.
I wonder if that's even, that's still irrelevant. And Craig's a Rangers fan. And mm-hmm. Craig, you're the one that outlined it. You think obviously there's a huge need for Rangers to try and end this season with silverware.
Absolutely, without question. I think it would be an abject failure if we didn't. You know, last season, we were in the Europa League final, we won the Scottish Cup, you know, it didn't soften the blow of losing that final, but actually getting to that final and having that run softened the blow of losing the league. There's none of that this season. You know, we've went step for step with Celtic since Michael Beale came in. The results have been the same, with the exception of the League Cup final. And I think, but the game at Celtic Park, that will take care of itself, whatever happens. What I would say, yes, the results in the last 2 for them haven't been as great as we'd have liked. I still think it's clear to see that Celtic didn't have it their own way in those games the whole way through it. And I think that's the one bit of confidence any Rangers fan will take, is that they didn't get it all their own way. And actually, Beale, I think, if he gets it right this time round and plays the likes of Raskin and Cantwell, instead of having guys like, you know, I mean, when he brought Kamara and Lundstrom in the final, let's be clear, these guys had just come back from injury. They weren't even fully fit, and he threw them in. In that respect, I think we have to win a trophy this season. You know, you can accept disappointment, okay, you've lost the league, you've lost the League Cup, but if you get a trophy, at least gives you that wee silver lining at the end of the tunnel to say, right, well, they didn't get everything this season, we can go and build on that. If we don't get that, that's a mentality issue, because Celtic are serial winners and we need to become that again.
Well, Craig's right. That's where Rangers need to be. That's where Michael Beale has to be working towards. Silverware, if they don't win the Scottish Cup, then of course it's a step back from where they were last season. But I'll stick to my point. I think come that game, if Ange Postecoglou has to lose it, of course the Celtic fans will be disappointed, but there is no pressure. He can do no wrong, really. If Michael Beale has to lose that and go out to Celtic, I think people are starting to question. People were already questioning him after the cup final, and he's only in the door. Now, I don't agree that that's right, but that's what comes with being the Celtic and Rangers manager in this city.
I don't think for one minute I'm saying that Ange Postecoglou, that'd be stupidity to say. I think you, as an individual, as a manager and as a player, and the way, and Craig's just said it, as a Rangers fan, Celtic are serial winners. You put that pressure on yourself. You get that treble in your hand.
I think that's different.
That's the pressure I'm talking about.
Well, okay then, we're cross wires, because we are not in there. We're talking about the external pressure, if you like. I've got absolutely no doubt the Celtic players want to win the treble and feel under pressure to win it.
That's the pressure I'm talking about. I'm not talking about that Ange Postecoglou would come under pressure, and players would come under criticism.
But Craig's the Rangers fan. I don't know how you can equate that. I don't know how you can equate
changing the argument.
How you can equate that type of pressure to the type of pressure that would be facing Rangers if they were to end the season trophyless. And do you know what word I think is actually the problem here? It is pressure. I'm not saying Michael Beale gets sacked. Forget Michael Beale even for a second. Just the notion that one of these clubs, Club A, Club B, whatever you want, is facing a trophyless season whilst the other isn't. So those two pressures aren't comparable, surely.
I can understand the Rangers one, because if they don't win a trophy, Gordon, well, of course. But I think that Rangers have changed their manager this year. I think that Craig has already said, look, you know, we've seen big improvements. We've matched them, you know, apart from obviously the cup final, we've matched them in results. Would it be disappointing to lose that semi-final? 100%.
I think Craig's point is it would be more than disappointing. I think that's what he's trying to tell you.
Yeah, but I still think you've got to look at the bigger picture. You brought in a new manager that said one window and brought in two signings. You've got to take your disappointment, dust yourself down, and then look at the summer. Now, if Rangers had to go next season without a trophy, I would totally bond.
Here's what I'm going to do, Craig, right? If Celtic beat Rangers in the semi-final, I'll phone you up that night, Craig, and I'll say, remember, Gordon Dale says it's actually not that bad, and I'm sure that'll make you feel better.
Oh, absolutely. That'll make me sleep so much easier that night, you know. I mean, listen, all I'll say, Gordon, is pressure is this. Celtic have won, I think, is it 4 or 5 trebles in the space of like 6 or 7 years? It's ridiculous. We can't allow ourselves to fall back to the pattern where Celtic dominate all the trophies, because the last two seasons, we have broke that cycle. We have got silverware. Last season, it wasn't the league like we wanted, but it was still a Scottish Cup, and it was a piece of silverware. The season before that, we did win the league title and prevented that. We can't have Ange Postecoglou waltz in the door and we just roll over and go, well, doesn't matter if he wins a treble because we changed our manager mid-season. Michael Beale has to understand whatever happened under Van Bronckhorst is done. His priority now is winning a cup. He's had a couple of players he's been able to bring in. He needs to use those players now. Now, I'm not saying he should be sacked if he loses, but the pressure that he'll come under from the fan base, if he does, and we have to watch Celtic win another treble, will be nothing compared to the pressure that Postecoglou would face internally for Celtic, because externally, what pressure is he under?
Fair point, Craig. I'm going to try and move and squeeze one more in. Thank you very much, though. That was Craig. What about Derek who's a Rangers fan in Cumbernauld. What do you think, Derek?
I'm looking forward to it, Gordon. How you doing? All right?
Yeah, not bad, not bad. So you're looking forward to it, feeling optimistic?
When I seen the draw coming out last night, I was heavy buzzing, because I was after that was disappointing after the semi-final, that, you know what I mean? But I think this time he'll get his team selection right. I think we'll take it to Celtic, and I think we'll give him a going over.
Wow, so we've got not only a win, a going over. This is what's interesting about it, because the League Cup final and elements of it, like the team selection, stung so much that as soon as the draw was made, all I saw was loads of tweets about what the Rangers team needs to be in, what is it, six weeks time? Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Desperate to try it. And I can almost hear the Celtic fans now saying, well, how, you know, start Nicholas Raskin, start Todd Cantwell if you want, it won't make a difference, we'll still win, which is fine, that's all part of the bravado. But that is the level of eagerness to make up for what went wrong in the last one, Mark.
Of course, because it's another day out of Hampden, it's fresh in the mind, like I said. So, you know, and the feelings for the Rangers fans were there to see. The Rangers fans think and still think it was an easy fix, that midfield. You know, Beale got it all wrong. If he played these two players, it would have been much better. And we kind of agreed it would have gave them probably a better chance, in our opinion. So when a game comes round at Hampden again, it's like, here we go, it's a mirror image, but you've got a chance to redeem yourself. And that's what feeds into my thoughts that it's a big one for Beale, and he will come under pressure if he doesn't beat Celtic.
What's that journey been like then, Derek? Because we had so many Rangers fans angry about the cup final defeat and the overall picture about where the club was at and so on. Fast forward a couple of weeks and you were heavy buzzing, or whatever the phrase was. So how have you got that confidence back?
I just think the last couple, especially the Easter Road game, I thought we were absolutely superb. I picked it right up. I don't think they can be granted all fun games again with two kind of holding midfield players like John Lundstrom and Glenn Kamara. I think you see the directness you get after Raskin and what Cantwell bring to the team. Do you know what I mean? A much more positive influence in the team. That was just one thing I wanted to ask you, if it's all right. I'm not too sure about this.
I mean, I'm a bit nervous about what this question's going to be, but take it away.
No, but obviously, I think the league's a bit of a long shot for us now, right? But we're still in it, and we've still got two games to play against Celtic. And my thinking was just the running might be a wee bit harder, because am I right in saying the European spot for the cup final can't be taken up by any one of the four semi-finalists, so that will drop into the league. And then you'll have six teams in the split, all vying for five European places. So we'll make the last few games.
No, I know what you mean.
A bit more competitive, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
playing for something.
Yeah, I know what you mean. So basically, Falkirk and Inverness are two games away from European group stage football, because the cup winners, the winners of the cup, get the Europa League playoff spot.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be the same as Hearts this season.
You want to drop into the conference.
So if you don't win that, then you drop into the Conference League groups. But if Celtic or Rangers win the final, which I think obviously they would be big favourites to do so, then the Scottish Cup's European spot goes to the team that finishes third in the Premiership.
Sure.
So it would be Hearts, as things stand. And again, that team would be guaranteed to play in either the group stages of the Europa League or the Conference League. So Falkirk and Inverness, simple. You want to get the passports out, just go and win the Scottish Cup. Easy as that.
Yeah, full of confidence.
Brilliant. Thank you, Derek. 0141 951 1025. Keep the calls coming. Any Falkirk fans out there want to get in touch and let us know how happy you are, or anything else that's on your mind, now is the time to share it.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here, 0141 951 1025, or Twitter at Clyde SSB. So get in touch, let us know what is on your mind this evening. Most of the calls so far, looking back on the Scottish Cup draw from last night, just in case you hadn't heard, there's the small matter of Glasgow's Big Two meeting in the semis, which means a wonderful opportunity for Falkirk of League One and Inverness of the Championship to make it through to the Scottish Cup final. I am quite keen, because the other big story is doing the rounds today. Angus Gunn is in the Scotland squad. Do you support that decision? Is it just fairly obvious he's a good goalkeeper, we need goalkeepers, you get him in? Is anyone still bothered by that stuff about him maybe hanging around and waiting to see what the England situation would be before pledging to Scotland? Let us know. 01419511025. Craig is a Falkirk fan. Finally, I've been hoping that we would get one on tonight. Craig, how does it feel to be in the Scottish Cup semi-finals?
It still feels unreal. As you can tell, my throat's away from last night. The atmosphere was brilliant. And well done to Jordan and the boys. Just hope they can get the final.
Yeah, and I mean, what a roller coaster last night as well. Take us through it, because obviously it was looking like at various points like you might not make it through. What was it like?
It's been like I said,
Like Craig, the line's a bit dodgy, so I'll get producer to have a wee look at that and see if we can get you on a bit of a better connection. But look, God, it goes without saying, you don't. There's no intricate analysis required to realise that a team from League One making it to the Scottish Cup semi-finals is a wonderful achievement.
Celebrations after it. I watched the game, Gordon. It was absolutely terrific for them, and especially showing the character they showed. One down, and air started so well. I thought this game's got to be beyond Falkirk before half time. But all credit to John McGlynn. He's been about the block. He's a lovely, lovely guy. Great coach, great reputation in the game. Done a terrific job with Ray. He plays very attractive football. I'll say that about him. He changed one or two things round. They needed a bit of luck. Of course they did. They were under, well, a lot of people made them favourites because they were at home, but they're playing a championship team that's having a very good season under Lee Boulin. And I thought second half they were terrific. Rode their luck a little bit with the penalty. That was the game changer. The minute Ayr missed that penalty, it seemed to lift the Falkirk players again. They got their goal and they deserved to be in the semi-final. And I'll tell you what, they will be looking forward to a terrific game against Inverness to get to a Scottish Cup final.
Was it a bit of a roller coaster, Craig?
Yeah, I didn't think it was a penalty last night. I was sitting behind the goal to get McAllister's in, and I didn't think it was a penalty, to be fair.
Yeah, there were a bit of debate about it, Craig, to Bond. And unfortunately, last night there was no VAR, so we couldn't really depend on that. Not that, you know, a lot
some
of people
might
agree.
Like that.
Yeah, a lot of people agree with that. But there's a look. Luck comes in all ways and shapes and sizes. The winning goal, you know, was a deflection, as well. But I thought second half, I thought Falkirk, the football they played, was outstanding. And that's down to John McGlynn, the way he coaches his players.
How would you sum up what this means to the club, Craig, who've obviously, you know, had a tough time of it in recent seasons?
I think it'll be more financing that for them in that too. But if they get to the final, I'll miss it because I'm in Tunisia, so on holiday. So it's just
You're going to cancel it, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
You're
going
to
cancel it.
A real fan, Craig.
Yeah.
You just
there'll
give
it there'll be a boozer in Tunisia, Sean,
at
Craig.
A Falkirk club in Tunisia?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. Could you imagine him walking about going, mate, you showing the Falkirk game? you can, Craig, showing the Falkirk game.
Our listeners know everything. I'm going to put a challenge out right now. We'll see what the best spot in Tunisia to watch the game would be for you, right, if it happens. So I'll let you know. What's this build-up going to be like, Craig? Because look, it's obvious, right? Everybody knows, I think, that Falkirk and Inverness were hoping to get each other last night. I mean, what did you make of the draw?
I was just happy to get Inverness, because if it was the old firm, there would be they'd steamrollers, both of them would steamrollers, and Inverness got a chance.
I mean, look, because you guys are going to have to put up with this, I'm sure, and we'll always kind of try and not be disrespectful about it, but everyone's going to be saying, aren't they, you know, whoever wins out of Celtic and Rangers will go on and win the cup. Do you think that's going to annoy you? Is it just part of it? Are you just enjoying the journey?
It's just part of it. It's a one-off game. No, anything can happen in one day.
Craig, you just said there was steamroller. You
know anything can
semi-final.
Happen.
Semi-final. Within 2 minutes, you've got yourself lifting that trophy. Well done. I like the
once
confidence.
Once he's had a couple of...
Yeah.
What's the beer of... Tunisia?
I wouldn't know. I've
I'm
never
asking
been there.
Too much of you. Yeah, the confidence levels might start going through the roof. But Mark, is that just a byproduct of it? I don't think anyone's meaning to be disrespectful as such. that's the word you're going to hear a lot. But it's just obvious.
Let's be real. It's just facts. I mean, if we're going to use disrespectful, we're going to be disrespectful to Celtic Rangers if we were to suggest they weren't going to win them. The budgets, the players that both teams have got compared to Inverness and Falkirk are a stratosphere apart. So let's be honest about it. What an achievement it is for both sides getting to the Scottish Cup semi-final. It must be incredibly exciting for both sets of fans, players, club representatives that are going to have their day out at Hampden with the opportunity to go to the final on June 3rd. And it's going to be incredibly difficult for them to keep Celtic or Rangers out on that occasion. But the hard work's been done by that point. They can actually go there with very little pressure on their shoulders. I've been in cup finals where the pressure on your shoulders is huge when you go into it. You can't even enjoy the day because it's on your shoulders. Whatever side gets to the final, that's alleviated. They can go and just enjoy themselves. And I'm not saying lie down and get beat 15-0 or anything like that, but it'll be a different feeling for them. Their work would have been done getting to this stage.
Thank you, Craig. Enjoy the build up. Enjoy your holiday when it comes around. Maybe we'll speak to you in the weeks that are to follow. Let's hear from John McGlynn then. Victorious last night.
We're delighted to be going to Hampden. I'm delighted for everyone connected. The players were magnificent. A lot of character showing. I thought we matched over the opening period. After that, I thought we matched air in every department, and I think we just about deserved it. It's a dream to come true to be in the semi-final of the Scottish Cup, going to Hampden. They'll love it. The fans will absolutely love it. You know, I don't know how many we can take. I don't know. 15,000-20,000 maybe, I don't know, 8,000 here tonight or something like that, I think. So hopefully we've got a big occasion to look forward to. It means everything. It's financially now, it's a big incentive for the football club. It's a payday as well, and that can only help us strengthen the football club. Look, I think myself and Billy Dodds will be delighted that we're playing each other, you know, and that's no disrespect. You know, I think we both wanted to stay away from Celtic and Rangers, and we'll manage to do that. I thought on Friday night, I thought Inverness were a different class against Kilmarnock. I thought they played really well. Billy's got a lot of his players back, and when they get his players back, they're a right good side. So we know we're going to be in a game.
As you say, financially, Mark, that is the number one thing. Of course you want that dream, and everyone's acknowledging that it's going to be extremely tough and all the rest of it. But the difference that can make, a team in League One, 8 points off the pace in League One, no less. Mm-hmm. And the same to be said for Inverness. We know they've had financial struggles. They've been public about that in recent times. So to be getting to this stage, the Hampden, the prize money, the splitting of the gate, TV revenue, all that sort of stuff.
That is really what it's all about. And I know people don't like that because they think it's about silverware and the glory on the day. But for the clubs to survive, they need the financial rewards that this is bringing. And especially with the way things have been in the past 3 or 4 years with clubs and struggling along and try to make ends meet, then when they get an opportunity like this that's presenting itself, it's absolutely fantastic. You mentioned to us the gate from the semis split, you know, fantastic amount of money. Actually, I read John McGlynn at the start of this cup run saying what a good cup run would do to the club and the finances. I don't think he could have even pictured where they'd be at this stage at the minute. So fantastic story all
for the players and the manager and the staff. It's all about the football. It's all about getting to Hampden. It's all about concentrating on the big day to get to a Scottish Cup final, which will bring more success to the club. For the board and everyone that runs the club, it's all about the finances. It's all about the money. It makes such a difference for Falkirk, especially Inverness as well.
Bearing in mind Inverness were out of the cup, they got knocked out of the cup.
Incredible.
But then Queen's Park fielded an ineligible player, put back in, win a couple of games, you're off to the semi. And you might even get to the final if you get past a team from the division below you.
Couldn't have been a story like that in the Scottish Cup, is there? They couldn't have been. Can't remember anybody having that sort of fortune to get back in. But see, when they got the fortune to get back in, going away to Livy, then beating Kilmarnock, I mean, they've done some incredible stuff. So thoroughly deserved
the
place.
I told you our listeners step up to the plate. Connor and
the beer,
Mark Bryce, have both been in touch. I don't know how you pronounce this exactly, but the spelling of it is quite ominous. I don't know if this is an omen for who's going to win the Scottish Cup. C-E-L-T-I-A. Will that be Kilt? Kill, I won't even bother. I don't know how that's
a Tunisian beer.
Apparently. Is it? Yeah. My Arabic's not great, I must say, so I'll give it a bye. Anyway, it's that time of the night already. Things you never thought you would hear on this show.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Thanks to Craig, the Falkirk fan. He's in the hat for the pair of tickets to see Mark Jennings at the Kings in the Glasgow International Comedy Festival. We're giving away tickets and dinner every night this week. All you need to do is call up and make a point. That's it. Then you get into the hat for that night out on us. So you'd be mad to miss out. If you want to play Beat the Pundit, you call right now though, and before 7, 01419511025. And hopefully we get a victory for you against Mark Wilson or Gordon DL next.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. It's 01419511025 if you want to get in touch, and please do, for a couple of reasons, because obviously we love to talk to you any night of the week, but for you in particular this week, as long as you come on air, make a point to the panel, you go into the hat for a pair of tickets to the Glasgow International Comedy Festival. It's a different show every night. So tonight, Mark Jennings at the King's Theatre, that's what you could win. And we're throwing in dinner for two at Nona Said in the Merchant City as well. So a nice wee night out on us by simply calling up and talking football with your friends Mark Wilson and Gordon DL. Do it before it's too late if you can. We've been speaking a lot already about the Scottish Cup, the draw last night that paired Glasgow's big two together. What a chance as well for Falkirk and Inverness to reach the final. So if you want to elaborate, agree or disagree on any of that stuff, it's the usual number. And the other big story today seems to be the Scotland squad being announced. What did you make of it? Who's in that shouldn't be in? Who's out that shouldn't be out? And what about Angus Gunn in particular? Because that clearly is the headline. He is the son of Brian Gunn, so clearly there's that Scottish international football link there. It did look in the past like he wasn't going to play for Scotland and was maybe waiting to see about England, but he's in Stevie Clark's squad, and I want to know what you think of it. 01419511025.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Oh, end-to-end stuff last night. You should have seen Kenny Miller. He would get one right, then the listener would get one, then he would get one, then the listener, back and forward, and eventually a winner for Kenny Miller. So let's see how we go tonight. I still think you're not the last pundit to lose.
Don't think so.
Yeah.
No, I'm pretty sure. Pretty sure you are.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's quite easy just to point the finger at me, Gordon. And I feel you're doing that.
Do you know what's
quite
most alarming? Do you not think that when we have these conversations, Mark, without delving too deep here, how natural lying comes to this guy? That's the thing that always jumps out for me.
It's just his normal life.
He's very convincing.
He's great.
Anyway,
he's built a life.
Jason is a Jason's a Dundee United fan on the line. How's it going, Jason?
Hi there, Gordon.
How old are you, Jason, if you don't mind me asking? A very nosy start to Beat the Pundit.
I'm 43.
So you've had the misfortune of remembering Mark Wilson's Dundee United career?
I wouldn't say misfortune. He was a very good servant for the club.
Jason, what a guy, mate.
Second call tonight, you, Jason. You up. This is
well,
remarkable.
Jason knows his stuff, Jason. Listen. And I hope Dundee United survive. You were listening, I really do.
Oh, from
slaughtering them last week.
No, listen, it's easy for this guy to bring you down. You were a top servant to Dundee United, as Jason quite rightly says.
Twice, remember, twice.
Oh, so at the second time.
Did you actually get back?
I did, and I took them to another Scottish Cup final after I did it first time round.
Get left on the bench.
I'll never forget.
Jason, what are you thinking? It's been, obviously you've had the break, you've got the new manager in. What are you thinking about your team's survival chances?
Still pretty optimistic. Hopefully John Goodwin can steady the ship a wee bit and get us up. Got a decent point away at Livingston during the week, because that's a... really hard place to go, so we'll see how that gets. One of his former clubs in Saturday again, so hopefully we'll get 3 points.
That's going to be an absolute cracker, that. In fact, what a day Saturday's going to be. We've got a bit of time to get round to it later in the week, but 6 games, everybody playing, should be a cracker. As Jason quite rightly says, Dundee United, St Mirren is one of them. So let's move on with the first big game of the midweek, which is either Mark Wilson or Gordon DL against Jason and Clyde Bank. Heads, it's Mark. Tails, it's Gordon. Oh, it's the two Dundee United men. going head to head.
Wish you the best of luck, Jason.
Come on, Jazza.
Surely you'll let him win.
No, oh, Jason wouldn't like that. He wouldn't like me lying down.
All right, well, I'll give you some. Okay. Clyde 2 to listen to so that you can't hear the questions. Jason, it's 30 seconds. Just answer as many as you can. And if you want to pass so you can move on to the next one, that is absolutely fine, okay?
Okay.
Let's go. Your time starts now. Moussa Dembele joined Celtic from which English team?
Fulham.
Name any Rangers player under 21 who's played a league game this season.
Pass.
Who was the last team Falkirk played in the Scottish Cup final?
Rangers.
Name any player in today's Scotland squad who's never been capped before.
Angus Gunn.
Which Scottish team are nicknamed the Binos? The Binos.
The Binos. Stirling Albion.
Who are the only Premiership team who've not won a league game away from home?
Dundee United.
Okay, let's bring Mark Wilson back. Can you hear us?
Yeah, how'd Jason get on?
I'm telling you, same set of questions, ready?
Ready?
Aye.
Moussa Dembele joined Celtic from which English Premier League team?
Film.
Name any Rangers player under 21 who's played a league game this season.
Sir.
Who is the last team Falkirk played in a Scottish Cup final?
Rangers.
Name any player in today's Scotland squad who's never been capped before.
Gun.
Which Scottish side are nicknamed the Binos?
Stirling Albion.
Who's the only Premiership team who's not won a league game away from home this season?
Oh, it's got to be Dundee United.
No, they said the exact same thing.
They beat St. Anyway, Johnson, didn't they?
What do you think, Jason? What do you think?
It's a close one.
Yeah, Moussa Dembele joined from Fulham.
Yeah, not a classic, this.
One each. The under 21 players have played for Rangers. Lowry? Tillman, King, Devine, Lowry, Bailey Rice, Robbie Ewer, Charlie McCann.
There's quite a few in there.
So still one each.
It was just a Dundee United connection. I was thinking I've written United there.
Falkirk last played Inverness.
2015?
So they did. 2015. So they did. Come on, this whole point of the story. You both said Rangers. Liam Kelly, Xander Clark, or Angus Gunn. All the goalies are uncapped. A remarkable situation. You both got that, so we're still level. Do you know what? See this question, right? Because this one brings me out in a cold sweat. Because I've told you before, Stirling Albion are my League Two team, if such a thing exists. My brother-in-law plays there. Years ago, when I first started this show, that question was on this, and I had this mind blank as to whether it was the Binos or the Binos. How you said that word? And now I'm just permanently confused.
I
even
would
though
say Binos
I've
as
been
well.
Told the right answer a million times, but you know that way something gets under your skin and you just panic. And 6 years in the job, I'm still at it. Anyway, forget it. You both knew it was Stirling Albion.
Oh, did we?
And I thought it was good.
I thought it was well known that the only team in the Premiership who's not won an away game was Kilmarnock. I mean, Jason, you must remember at least one Dundee United win away from home.
St.
Johnson.
Did he say Dundee United as well?
He said Dundee United as well. Incredible.
Just toss a coin between these two and let's get on with the big show.
Is that a tie? Is that
it? A tiebreaker.
I'm quite happy with that. That's fine. Okay. Jason's a nice fella.
Right, here's the deal. I will read the question. I'll get Mark to write his answer down and I'll then invite you to give me your attempt, Jason, okay?
Yeah.
Let's do it. The four longest serving players in the Scottish Premiership are Lewis Stevenson, Paul Hanlon, Murray Davidson, and James Forrest. What are their ages combined?
I was counting the games there.
So was I.
Right, so quickly, Lewis Stevenson, Paul Hanlon, Murray Davidson, James Forrest. What is the combined age of their four? Write it down. Mark Wilson, please.
Oh, no, it's a wee bit high.
What do you think, Jason?
I'm 150.
Oh, no!
That's unbelievable! You both said 150.
Two good United men. Sting the girl, Jason.
You answered the same to every question on Beat the Pundit. You had the chance to be more specific on the tiebreaker, and you've both gone 150.
What happens now? Have you ever had that before?
Once, I think, and I hoped it would never happen again.
What was it?
It was 134. Anyway, right, another question quickly. Come on. How many current Celtic and Rangers players are from outside of Scotland? So add them up. How many Celtic and Rangers players are from outside of Scotland? Write it down, please, Mark.
Is that
the tools? Yeah, the squads, first team squads. What are you going for?
I'll go for 24.
What have you said, Mark Wilson?
30.
Oh no, Jason, it's 41.
Oh yes. Oh, I take no pleasure in that, actually. Unlucky, Jason.
I think he should get half a ball.
He no should
chance. 22 half Rangers ball. 19 Celtic apparently. There we go. Well done, another victory. Hard lines, Jason.
No bother. Thanks a lot, Gordon.
That was I just
great game,
was,
Jason. Well done.
Rubbish game.
Listen, the punters at home would have loved that. Loved it. Two tiebreakers.
150,
huh?
I can't believe you never get Kilmarnock.
Shut up. That doesn't matter.
Ridiculous.
It doesn't matter. I'm happy. Another victory. And it showed Jason up to be a good competitor.
Poor Jason.
That was grim. That
was amazing, eh? 150 both of these.
The tiebreaker's not great.
And you wonder why Dundee United bought my league. One supports him.
Standards.
One supports him. One used to play for him.
Honestly, that was grim. But it's another victory.
It is.
Don't forget, every caller who makes it on air, I know what you're thinking. See where I'm going here? That was a bit of a comedy effort from Mark Wilson on Beat the Pundit. But every caller who makes it on tonight goes into the hat for a pair of tickets to the Glasgow International Comedy Festival. It actually kicks off tomorrow. It runs until the 2nd of April. And tonight it's a pair of tickets to see Mark Jennings at the Kings on the 24th of March. And we're throwing in dinner for two at Nona Said in the Merchant City. And we're doing that every night this week for like a different show, if you like. So that's
see,
the
you
one
promote that
that's
we,
tonight.
We should have had him. And a stand-up routine.
Are they all at
as
the
a
Kings?
Support act for somebody
no,
to see
they're not all at the Kings. They're everywhere across the city. So many venues, so many shows.
I think
like
you
to
would
go,
succeed
I'd like to
as a stand-up for
yeah,
5 minutes.
Not a problem.
Have you had 5 minutes, right?
Not
as a support
a
act for one of these
give
professionals.
Not
give us
a problem. No, I can't. I don't want to give
what
away
your
my
stuff too X-rated for this show.
No, I've got good stuff. I would mix it with a bit of football and a bit of
how
real,
would you open
real life?
What would you say? What's your opening line?
I watch Live at the Apollo every single night. I know how to open my show.
I watch Match of the Day, but I don't see me getting a call up to start in Arsenal's midfield
well,
next
you
week.
Never, you never know. But you get out there with a bit of confidence.
I would love to see him dying on stage.
Need to laugh.
Me in the front row, loving every minute.
Well, I did say to you earlier that the folks at the Glasgow Comedy Festival had picked out, because there are hundreds of shows on, there's all sorts yeah. going on, but they've picked out a specific show for each of the pundits.
Right, okay.
To go to.
Come on.
So yours is Tinder Tales, because they reckon that you might not do Tinder, but they're sure that you've got a few tales to tell.
I like it. And when's that on? Come on, Tinder Tales.
That one is the 24th and 25th of March, Tenants Bar, Byers Road. There you are.
That sounds all right. Actually, that one.
Yeah. I might go a lot. Is it
all the funny stories that happen on Tinder?
You'll like this even better, though. They recommend that Mark Wilson goes to see a show by Alex Hilton called I Won't Let Failure Go to My Head as a tribute to his time as manager of Brecon City.
Talking about disrespectful.
I knew you'd like that.
That's disrespectful.
It's true. You've just got to put your hand up sometimes.
I feel like you've been hard done by there.
Yeah, I've had a few failures.
Who was that that wrote that?
I don't actually
is that the organisers?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
That's a shame mm-hmm. on them.
Mm-hmm.
You should go to that one. You'd be a big hit with that one.
Yeah. Right, let's bring in Brian, who's a Celtic fan. Enough of your comedy for one night, if you can call it that. Brian, what is your point this evening?
Evening, Gordon, Martin Gordon.
Hello.
First time caller.
Right, what made you call then? I'm always interested in this.
Caller, I was about the game, the draw yesterday. Brilliant, great result. Draw for Celtic, I think. That was the draw I was looking for. I don't agree with Gordon when he says that the pressure's on Celtic. I don't think there's any pressure whatsoever on Celtic. So in Rangers to stop Celtic doing the treble.
I do take your point, Gordon,
yeah,
clearly, because
my wires get crossed here. I'm talking about pressure as a player, as a manager, to succeed mm-hmm. that treble.
But that's
because you know how much it means to the supporters.
That's fine though, because I do feel like that's a sort of verging on a statement of the obvious, in the sense that there's always going to be pressure to play Celtic or Rangers. Like, so no one's saying that it's off. But surely you would now concede, having had it explained to you by a Rangers fan, and Brian's putting the Celtic fans' point of view across, the need, if you like,
for silverware
is obviously more intense at Rangers, because Celtic have already won something. well, and are about to win a second thing, well, everyone assumes.
Everybody assumes that they're going to win the double anyway, and then the treble's on, yeah. My full argument was in the sense of inside those dressing rooms, how much it means to the supporters.
That's the thing,
pressure.
I get that. I know Ange Postecoglou isn't going to sit there and go, oh, we're no bothered if we win, it's a free hit for us. Of course not. But it's pretty simple. At the end of the season, if Celtic have won a double, that will be considered a successful season, won't it?
Yes.
And if Rangers have won nothing, that will not be considered a successful season.
I take your point there. And I think that if Rangers won and they get to the final and they win the final, then last game of the season, I think the Rangers fans will take tremendous heart from the fact that they've won a bit of silverware. They're going into the transfer window. They're going to try and rebuild. There'll be players leaving, players coming in. I just think it's... whether you get it semi-final or final, I just think it's a fantastic fixture anyway, Gordon. I think it'll mean so much to both sets of fans. We were there at the final and we've seen what it's all about. So I don't think this will be any different. I think from now until that game's played, we'll hear every Celtic supporter coming on here and saying, we will beat Rangers. It's not a problem. We've got them. But I think Rangers fans... And one of them tonight, I don't know if it was Craig at the beginning, it actually was talking about, look, Celtic are not unbeatable, which is true. But if there's one team that could beat Celtic, and I think just now the only one that could stop them in a one-off game at Hampden would be Rangers.
Brian, what is... You know, we speculated in advance a little bit about the kind of hypotheticals, but now that we know that it's the semi-final, would you have preferred that? Do you prefer that? Would you have preferred the showpiece, if you want to call it, get saved for the final? Do you not care?
No, I want them in the semis because I don't even want to give them the day in the final. I'm quite happy that one of the small teams is going to get a big day, they're going to get a big pay, and all the Rangers fans will be hiding under the covers while we are celebrating the treble.
I hope Hugh Keevans is listening. He told me at the weekend that everyone wanted to beat their rivals in the final. Not had one person yet. Maybe, to be fair, there is a silent majority out there. But if they are, they're staying very silent, Mark Wilson.
Yeah. No, listen, I do think there will be people out there who enjoyed the cup final win over Rangers more than they would have the semi-final. I think there's both sides of the argument, but I totally get Brian's point, same as Kevin when he came on early on, that they want to rob their rivals of a day out, because the Scottish Cup final is a special day. Let's get that straight. You know, the last game of the season, it's usually a sunny day, it's usually a great day out, and if your team wins it, it's a fantastic way to top your season off. So if one team can rob the other of that, then of course it's a victory. But I would say again on Michael Beale, if you become Rangers manager just after the World Cup and you get four shots at Celtic and don't win one of them, you are naturally coming under pressure. You know, I get drawn in the league, that's fine, that showed slight progression. But if you get a cup final, then a semi-final, a game at Celtic Park in the league, and you don't make a dent in them, I think Rangers fans will start questioning
six this season. Because you played in the famous one, the season.
It was seven.
That was your season. Your big moment, was it not?
When you scored your goal. That's where I stole the show.
Papachi's face. I think the two managers stole the show that night. Don't you
I
worry.
Was gutted.
I'm trying to think. Since then, I'm assuming they've not met the six times, have they? I can't imagine they have.
I can't imagine.
And of course, the seven wouldn't be possible now in the era of no cup replays. So this is your maximum allocation of the fixture.
And again, there's something pretty special where they meet at Hampden on two of those occasions, neutral venue, one for the cup final, one for the semi-final. So it makes that a wee bit more unique. So again, huge significance on the game coming up, on both games, the league game, because if Celtic won it, then of course the title's all wrapped up, if it's not already by then. And whoever wins goes into a cup final and will win the cup.
Brian, you know the way this works. You know Rangers fans listening will be saying, ah, you're complacent, and everyone said you were going to beat us in last year's semi-final at Hampden and it didn't happen. Why are you so sure this one will be different?
You were talking about earlier on, they say that Callum Vickers at the bar, that'd have put it to bed. I just think we're a far better team, and Rangers are going to know, and all, we should have made a different midfield. I don't think your two players is going to make a difference compared to Celtic's midfield.
To be fair, and I'm not arguing that because I don't know, but if you're allowed to say, ah, well, we'd have won it last year if Cameron Carter-Vickers had hit the bar. It hadn't hit the bar, then you're allowed to hope that a different change in team selection can boost your chances, surely.
Yeah. What is he saying? If my auntie had...
Oh, no.
If you don't mind.
No, we'll leave that there.
Carter Vickers hadn't hit the bar.
Exactly.
And Raskin and Cantwell had
small
played.
Small margins.
Right, thank you to Brian, 01419511025. What did you make of the Scotland squad today? Who is in it that you would rather didn't get the call-up? Vice versa, who do you think deserved a place? What about Angus Gunn's call-up? Let us know. We'll speak to you next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. It's 0141 951 1025. We're going to hear from Steve Clark before the end of the show because he's named as Scotland squad. And there tends to be a kind of predictability about it. Quite uniform, quite consistent, likes his continuity. But for the first time in a while, certainly a big headline inclusion in Angus Gunn in goal. Not the end of an era, but obviously Craig Gordon and David Marshall and why has his name escaped me for some reason? Alan McGregor have had the goalkeeping spot sewn up for a long time. So it's a bit of a look to the future now. And who's it going to be? Angus Gunn, Sander Clark, Liam Kelly. And there's some other interesting decisions being made as well. So we'll hear from him in the not too distant future. I'm going to try and give you a full time teaser.
Go.
Tonight. I like this one. Mark says, for each of the teams in the Scottish Premiership, can you name the player that scored the most amount of goals in the English Premier League? Now, what I'll tell you here, just as a wee clue, there might be 12 teams, but there's not 12 names, which tells you certain players have done it for more than one club, yeah?
Yes.
So for each of the teams in the Premiership, name their current or former player who's got the most English Premier League goals.
Oh my. Let's go. Start. Top of the league, Celtic. That's easy. No idea.
Mark. Premier League goals for Celtic. It's got to be Ian Wright. No. John Harrison?
No. Oh, come on. There's another obvious one. You'll know the profile. It's obviously Sean.
Robbie Keane.
It's easy when you say it like that.
Or Jermaine Defoe.
For Rangers, yes. Yeah. See, it's not that tough. I mean, don't get me wrong, some are harder than that.
Okay.
So for each team in the Scottish Premiership, which player, current or ex-player, has scored the most English Premier League goals? So like Celtics is Robbie Keane, Rangers is Jermaine Defoe.
Dean Windass.
At
Aberdeen.
No.
Oh,
it's not, you know.
Really?
But you said at.
No.
Mike Neal.
Nope.
No, for.
I think Hibs. The more obvious ones.
For Aberdeen, you mean? Is that where we're going?
No, just guys that have had good Premier League careers
down in England. Stephen Fletcher.
For.
Hibs.
Yes.
Well done, Daz.
Oh, I come right in a ball now, son.
Yep.
I'll be rattling these off.
I mean, Stephen
time.
Fletcher's now at Dundee United, isn't he?
Yes.
But he's not Dundee United. Oh, that would be.
Because that would be Stephen Thompson.
Oh, what?
Shut.
Oh, it would be, of course. Oh,
come on. Get Charlie on.
Big Dunk.
Dunk.
Yes. Big Dunk. Okay, my word. I was worried about that there, but you've made a decent start for each. Of the teams in the Scottish Premiership, can you name the current or ex-player who's got the most English Premier League goals? So Celtics.
Is Naismith Kilmarnock?
Yes.
Oh!
I'll leave it there. So Stephen Naismith's Kilmarnock, Duncan Ferguson is Dundee United, Stephen Fletcher is Hibs, Jermaine Defoe is Rangers, and Robbie Keane is Celtic. So you're already five down, and like I said, there are a couple who've been who are the answer for more than one team. So I'll leave that there.
Anywhere you want.
That sounded a bit weird. Anyway, right. Let's take a look at that Scotland squad.
Motherwell Faddies.
Will you actually be quiet? It's not.
John Spencer.
You must hate him.
John Spencer.
He ruins your quiz all the time.
And don't forget, by the way, just like who was it that sent it tonight? It was Mark. It's fulltime@clyde1.com. That's the email you need to send it in. Right, Mark. Mark Wilson.
Yes.
What jumps out from the Scotland squad today? I think I know the answer, but take it away.
Well, the goalkeeper, obviously Gunn, is a big story because of the pursuit of him and the reluctance for Angus Gunn to commit his future to Scotland. But it's never one that really bothered me. I'm always a believer that I don't think we are as blessed as a nation to have a lot of players to pick from. So when we do find a connection there, and the connection is his father was obviously famously Scottish, it's not too far a connection, then I don't see a problem. Going through the squad, it's much of the same, which is fine, because I like the way we're going. A few omissions that surprise me. Greg Taylor not being in there. And I get that Tierney and Robertson are your first choice left side. However, Taylor has been the outstanding left back in Scotland.
Seems
and
to be
played.
A reason for that though, which I'll get to. I don't know what the reason is, but there seems to be a more specific reason.
And the other one I was going to say is Shankland. Now I think a striker in our league who's banging in the goals for the third place team, 21 injured. Goals this season. I know he's injured, but
no, I don't think that's, I'll tell you what, like, but I think since you've brought those two up, get your calls in on the goalkeeping situation or anything else. This was Steve Clark's explanation for Greg Taylor and Lawrence Shankland's omission.
Obviously, I know Greg very, very well. We have a good relationship. I've had a chat with him, and he's fine. There are one or two little issues around that one that's not for me to say. It's a Celtic matter.
Lawrence Shankland, has he not been fit for this?
Lawrence has been really good this season. He's had a good campaign. I look at the forward department. Lawrence was right at the front of my mind. Probably the fact that he's picked up a little hamstring or a little injury. I think it's hamstring. Might just assuage me to go the other way. And obviously I got Lyndon back. I wasn't really expecting Lyndon to be fit. I watched him play for QPR at the weekend. He was on the pitch for 56 minutes and he looked okay to me, so hopefully Lyndon will get some more minutes. Shea and Lyndon have been my two go-to strikers, if you like, so I'm happy to have both of them in the squad.
So it doesn't sound like he's deliberately left Greg Taylor out for footballing reasons. He says it's a Celtic matter. It's for them to explain. Whatever, I don't know what that means. There's not much point in speculating whether it's a try to keep him fit for something or an injury, I don't know. But and again, Lauren Shankland as well, he's kind of saying that he's leaned the other way, but partly because of the injury. So are they fairly suitable explanations, Mark, since you were
The injury one, yeah, with Shankland. Then if he's looked at Shankland and thought by the time he gets up to speed he might not be what he was before he picked up the injury, and you need to be at the top of your game in international football, okay, I maybe get that. I just wonder how many could he have taken him. I mean, who else called up? Jacob Brown, Shea Adams, Lyndon Dykes, Chris. Jacob Brown's he really pulling up any trees at the minute? I just wonder if Shankland's stats alone would be enough to get him in. The Taylor one, oh, you're right, let's not speculate, because it's obvious. What fills me a wee bit more hope is that he's had the conversation with Greg Taylor and the club, and there's something behind it. It's not just he's been admitted.
And for what it's worth, he clearly likes Greg Taylor. He's played him numerous times in the past, hasn't he? Yeah. And again, though, even whatever this issue is, it's still this remarkable scenario we've got. I know Kieran Tierney's not playing a lot for Arsenal, but he's still Kieran Tierney and Andy Robertson. It's just a ridiculous situation for a country that is limited in many areas to have that. And as good as Greg Taylor is, he's still got those two to compete with anyway.
Of course. And then you look further down the pecking order. Obviously Hickey can play right back. And then you've got Doig, who is not even in the squad, who's playing every week over in Italy. So it's extraordinary. But we've got two world-class, in my opinion, world-class left-sided defenders who we're very lucky to have.
Mark Wilson says he's not bothered. He doesn't care if Angus Gunn's taking his time to choose to play for Scotland. Doesn't really care about any of it. Does it bother you?
No, in the same camp. I think if you're a Scotland manager and you've got players that you think's better than what you've got to choose from, they're available to you for selection, I think you've got to go with your gut feeling, and you've got to pick them. I think that's your job, Gordon. You know, I know that a lot of fans out there may look at the situation and looked at what's happened going by with Gunn about the England situation. I know there's one or two things being on social media. Look, the boy's obviously got a talent. He's quite right to sit there if he was desperate to play for England. I've not got a problem with that at all. If he comes to Scotland and he plays and he produces, I'll be delighted with that.
Let's bring in Mick and get his thoughts on it. Mick, are you bothered about Angus Gunn's inclusion? What do you make of it?
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I think it's an overreaction because the boys played in the Premier League. Let's not kid ourselves. Craig Gordon is our number one, right? The guy got injured. Xander Clark came in as his replacement. And let's not kid ourselves again. Hearts have still maintained their position, still went on some good performances. And I can't understand. To me, it's a no-brainer. Xander Clark should be the first man in that jersey, isn't it?
Well, listen, yeah, look, he may well be right. So, but before we get to who plays the game, I'm talking more about, you know, the call-up, the fact that he's now made himself available to Scotland. Are you okay with that? Are you against it?
No, I'm kind of borderline, right? It's one of them ones you think yourself, right, look, why did you wait so long?
Right, your theory was a Scottish international. You've probably brought up a bit of Scottish success out, if you get my point.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's bottomed in the roads, but you know what I mean? There is that wee issue. You think, well, why did you wait so long for, you know?
I think in an ideal world, Mark, right, you want everybody that's, you know, straight away, it's an absolute dream, and they, you know, and they're no sort of sideshow. But at the same time, you know, it's the modern world for a start. Well, put it this way, international football's got the grandparent rule, right? You're talking about guys like, and I think they fall into that. Is Shea Adams a grandparent? I think Scott McTominay, I think he's a parent, isn't it, for him? And no one bats an eyelid when McTominay's sticking a penalty away to help us qualify for the Euros, or when Shea Adams scored that goal against Denmark, one of the best results we've had in recent seasons. And yes, he maybe took his time and whatever, but he's almost, if you're looking at boxes to tick, he's almost like even closer than some of them, because he's the son of a former Scotland international. But you, obviously some people just want, and it's understandable because it is international football. It's supposed to be this like pinnacle that people sort of are desperate to do it, in the same way that some fans would be.
But let's not forget that Angus Gunn, born in England, so he's English. So of course his first thought is going to be to play for the country of his birth. So it's a bit hypocritical for people to say, oh well, he should have just chose Scotland right away. He's wanted to exhaust every possibility of that happening. Now remember, when you're looking at where England are in the world at the minute, national football team, they're at every single tournament. So again, you've got to be sure that you're making the right decision, or if you're even selected. Now if you're far out of it and an opportunity like Scotland comes up, then of course you're going to consider it. So I don't think anybody should be too harsh in pointing a finger at Gunn and saying he should have chose Scotland right away because his dad's Scottish. He's obviously wanted to give himself the best opportunity and a real good go at representing where he was born first.
But Mick, you don't want to see him come in as this number one. You think it's Xander Clark's chance for that, yeah?
No, mate, no. Well, that's what I'm saying with his borderline, right? There is that part that thinks, no, he's waited too long, etc. But there's also the part of me who's a Scotsman. And I know if my child was born in England, no matter, he's going to be brought up as a Scotsman, a Scottish, etc. Right? I've not got an issue with that, mate. Well, look at rugby, look at the Olympians. You're right. Oh, right, anyway, that's a different point. But what I'm saying is, in terms of merit, mate, I'm actually talking about in merit. Yeah. I believe Xander Clark has actually earned the opportunity to be the first choice for the Scotland number one.
Yeah, it's going
to
be interesting, Mark, because like we said, this is a huge moment. Craig Gordon may well get back fighting fit and this issue gets pushed down the line, but we sort of knew it was coming. We've been blessed with a Gordon, Marshall, McGregor for what seems like forever. You know, now and then but we're going into this round of international fixtures, somebody's making their debut and goal. Somebody, yeah. Whether it's Xander Clark, whether it's Angus Gunn, or whether it's Liam Kelly, we're about to start a new era in the goalkeeping department.
Big call for the manager.
They clearly want Angus Gunn. There's clearly been a pursuit there before. That's intensified now. Is that because they think he's a shoo-in to go in and play number one, or is it because they simply need more goalkeeping options? It's funny, I noticed that Xander Clark has got the best save percentage in the Scottish Premiership, and yeah, Angus Gunn's got the best save percentage in the English Championship.
Yeah.
What's your gut telling you on who'll get the nod?
Listen, I'm going to be biased along with Mick, because I get to see Xander Clark a lot more than I do Angus Gunn. I've seen his performances this season and I think they've been terrific. I think on merit he should get the nod, but I don't see a lot of Angus Gunn. I can only go in the percentages. Would that come into Steve Clark's thinking? I don't think the small percentage of saves between them, is it something like there's 1% between Xander Clark and Angus Gunn?
Different leagues anyway. Look,
different leagues,
not get
you
up.
Have to then assess the quality. Steve Clark, I think, would want 3 quality goalkeepers in there. That's why he's went for Gunn at this time, along with Xander Clark. And I think he'll assess it on the day. I think he'll speak to his goalie coach and he'll take every possible advice he can get in this situation.
Xander Clark's been in squads before. Angus Gunn hasn't. I mean,
that wouldn't sway me. I would not sway me one bit.
Can you see Angus Gunn coming in and being the number one?
100%. I'm not saying he will be. I think that Mark touches on a point and I will agree with him. We see a lot of Xander Clark, don't see a lot of Angus Gunn. So Steve Clark will, because he'll have been to games up and down the country. He'll have done his homework. So he will decide, along with his coaching staff, who he feels the number one will be. I totally understand that people in Scotland will be biased, saying, well, Xander Clark's been brilliant since he came in to Hearts, apart from Saturday when he caught the ball.
Well, you've not forgiven him for the one time that he punched it out of the box, right? Okay.
But I think you've got to learn day-to-day life.
Day-to-day life.
I think
if only you took your own advice.
Exactly, I've never ever. I just feel that, you know, I would like to see Xander Clark given a chance. I know Kelly's, there's a good shout for him, but I think Clark's been in better form. But I think Steve Clark will know a lot more about Angus Gunn than what most of us up here will, and I think he will make
Stevie
that judgment
Woods, I think Stevie Woods will have a big call on this. I think you've got to rely on your goalkeeping coach when you're at this stage, you know, particularly when you're picking another 22 you know, outfield players that you've got your eye on. You've got to rely on people in the specialised positions that you employ them in. So of course Stevie Woods is a well trusted figure. Look at the work he's done with Craig Gordon in the past and all the other great goalkeepers we've had. I think Stevie Clark will rely heavily on him at this stage.
Thank you to Mick in Drumchapel. What do you think, Angus Gunn's inclusion as a sort of whole, and then one step beyond that, does that mean he comes in as a number one? Is it Xander Clark? Is it Liam Kelly? Anything else from the squad that you're not happy or delighted about? Pick up that phone, please, and do let us know. Now, Mark sent you guys a teaser in tonight. He's looking for the top English Premier League goal scorer for each of the clubs in our Premiership. And you think, well, that sounds a bit confusing. It's not. So Celtics is Robbie Keane. Rangers is Jermaine Defoe. Hibs is Stephen Fletcher. Dundee United, Duncan Ferguson. And Killy is Stephen Naismith. Give me one more each.
I'll give you a double. You going for it? Snodgrass.
Livy.
No.
Oh no. Seriously. For the last 5 minutes he's been making signals to me.
Are you going to check that, please?
He's got two.
His Hearts. He's not Livy's.
Oh, so he's on the last.
Well,
on the
list. Double.
Well, and
he's not Livy's.
No.
Who would be Livy? Dykes. No, Dykes hasn't played in there, has he? Halliday.
Oh, come Halliday's on. Halliday's not played. Ridiculous.
You not play
anymore.
Kenny Miller.
Nope.
He's got to be one. Clubs.
I know.
What about Motherwell's?
You McAllister.
Said, yes, Gary McAllister. Okay, we'll try and get the rest of the answers and more calls if you feel the need next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. 0141 951 1025. Twitter at Clyde SSB. And they're also tackling tonight's full-time teaser as well, which is a cracking question. It is, for each of the current Scottish Premiership teams, can you name the current or ex-player who's got the most English Premier League goals? So it's always easier when you hear the answers. So like Celtics is Robbie Keane, because he scored loads down the road. Rangers is Jermaine Defoe. Stephen Fletcher at Hibs. You've got Duncan Ferguson, Dundee United. Stevie Naismith, Kilmarnock. Snodgrass at Hearts. Gary McAllister at Motherwell. What I did tell you earlier is, although there are 12 teams, you're only looking for 10 names, because two of the guys qualify for two clubs, if that makes sense.
Charlie Adam, St Mirren, Ross County.
Wonderful. You're a man at the top of your game.
He's good at this game. He is. He's found his
What
niche.
Gave it away was I looked at Blackpool just going 1-0 up against QPR and bang, there
just
it was.
Just came to you.
Superb.
You're a bright man.
Which means, what, you got two to get? So you've still to tell me who is the former St Johnstone player with the most English Premier League goals, and I need the Aberdeen and Livy equivalent.
Jody Morris.
I've kind of given it away that there is one player who represents two of those teams. No, it's not Jody Morris. These two are very, very difficult, I must say.
Dubry? No.
No. You've probably forgotten this guy played for St Johnstone, so I'll help you along a bit. You will remember him mostly for playing for Rangers. Okay. A bit of a mixed bag on Twitter, by the way, in terms of the discussion we were having before the break about Angus Gunn and his inclusion in the Scotland squad. Graham Maloney says, give a young Scottish keeper a chance whose heart is with Scotland, not a player who's just there because he plays for England. But then Logan replies saying, like who? Which might be a fair argument. Foxy calls it absolutely shambolic. John Caesar says it's second choice. He knows he's not good enough for England. If England had a keeper crisis and called him up, he would jump. Gambit Man says it's a good move. Haven't seen a great deal of him, but what I have seen, he looks the part. Was a bit gutted that he played underage levels for England. So a bit of a split, Mark Wilson.
Ah, who cares? If he comes in and he makes a save that helps us to beat Spain, do you think anybody will be phoning?
That would be quite something.
Aye, and going, oh, we shouldn't have had him in the squad. Of course not. I mean, I'll get back to it. We're a country of, what, 6 million people. England, 66 million people.
How many Spain go? Well,
they've got probably about 80 million. You know what I mean? So, any other countries? Why did you want to know what Spain?
I'm quite happy.
However, Paul messaged to bring you up to speed, which I'm sure you knew. I'm sure it was a slip of the tongue. You're worth bearing in mind that Stevie Woods is no longer the Scotland goalie coach. It's Chris Woods.
Woods. I just let you hang yourself.
Sorry, Woods. Oh,
yeah. I just let you go where. I let you go where.
You're fine.
Yeah.
It's all about Celtic with you.
It's easy to get your Woods mixed up.
Yeah, let's hear a bit more from Steve Clark specifically on that then. The big talking point, the Angus Gunn call up.
Obviously, I heard through a third party that Angus was interested in playing international football. When I heard that, I thought I'd go down and meet him in Norwich. Had a good conversation. Didn't have to persuade him too much because he felt as though that was his best chance of getting international football, was to play for Scotland. His dad's a Scotland international, so it all fitted in quite well. Had a good conversation. He was very honest. I was very honest. And obviously we've lost Craig. We've lost Craig Gordon injured, which is a massive blow to us. Craig was the undisputed number one. And I looked at the pool of goalkeepers, and I just felt that if we could improve the pool of goalkeepers, then that's what we should do. So that was the thinking behind getting Angus to come on board. The good thing is we've got a full week's training. So I've got three good goalkeepers. Liam Kelly's been in almost every squad. Xander's been in the squads, obviously lost his place when he wasn't playing. And then he was sitting behind Craig at Hearts. So Xander's back in the squad. And Angus comes into the first squad. None of them have got any caps. So all to play for in the week.
I think it's just something that's definitely much more of an issue on the outside, on social media, for instance, Mark, and maybe a bit of pub talk, football, phone-in talk type stuff. I mean, Stevie Clark just won't be giving it a second thought, will he? It's just
the goalkeeping situation.
You get out there and you find out who's available and if they're good and can they help your squad, and that's pretty much it.
Of course, that's it. Stevie Clark's job is to get the best players who can represent Scotland and who are willing. Now, if that means pursuing them for some time, then I still think that's part of the manager's job, finding the best players for the best positions. Now, when we lose the goalkeepers that we've lost, he obviously has to fill them with the best possible players. And I think Gunn comes into that. What will be interesting is the week in training that Stevie Clark's talking about there, actually assessing them. How does he assess them? Will they play practice games? Will it just come down to the small-sided games, who stands out? Or will it come down to the advice he's taking for the goalie coach? And what's actually been going on in the league?
I think he'll have it in his head just now, Mark.
Who's playing?
Yeah, because he's watched them. He's watched them playing. You know what I mean? You can impress in training, but I think that if you're a manager, that you've watched him down in England, you've watched Xander Clarke, Kelly up here, I think you'll have a fair idea.
So if Gunn comes into training camp and he's a quiet lad and he has a nervy week and Xander Clarke's in pulling saves off, he's still going to pick Gunn?
Listen, you've still got Stevie Woods as a goalkeeping coach, so I wouldn't say too much about you.
Right, quick, we need to round off this teaser then. I'll up the clues because we're at the end of the show.
It's no Gavin Rae, is it?
No, you're looking for someone who's played for Livy and Aberdeen, and they are the record English Premier League scorer for both of those clubs.
He played for both, didn't he?
He did.
Didn't he play in England, though?
He did. That's a great show.
Come on.
No, I'm really sure.
You've forgotten this, mate. It's tough. It is tough.
Give us sort of
who did he play for in England?
All sorts. Leeds, Coventry, Middlesbrough. Don't like that silence.
That is silence. And it's not
put you out of your misery.
Give us initials, please.
N.W.
Neil Warnock.
No Whelan.
No Warnock. Well, that's N.W.
Surprisingly, it is not Neil Warnock. It's Noel Whelan. And quickly, the former St Johnston player with most English Premier League goals.
Go.
Again, initials will give this away straight away.
Go.
JJ.
Oh, Johansson.
Yeah.
Jonathan Johansson.
When I got that.
Well done to Jason from Clydebank. He's the winner of the tickets to the Glasgow International Comedy Festival. We'll do it again tomorrow with Marvin Bartley and Simon Donnelly. And Callum Gallagher is up next.